you need a winter bike this winter? That's what I want to talk about today. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Roadman, welcome back to another Roadman Cycling Podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about whether you need a winter bike. There's a number of considerations go into this, whether you need a winter bike. It's not just a straight out cycling purist will go, yes, you need a winter bike. Of course, you need a winter bike. This is a nuanced argument, as is everything on the Roadman Podcast, quite a little nuanced argument. And it's why I love podcast format. And it can be as long and drawn out as it needs to be. And this is why some platforms just are not suitable for complex arguments. I seen Phil Gaiman tweeted the other day, and this just, it's just annoying because it's so symptomatic of media in general at the moment, where they want to have this reductionist argument and reduce very complex topics to binary outcomes. This is good, bad, right, wrong. He tweeted in reference to a pro cyclist who came out and said he was a little bit vaccine hesitancy. And honestly, I don't care if you're pro-vaccine, anti-vaccine. It's your personal choice. Do what you want. So a pro rider came out and said he was a little vaccine hesitant. And Gaiman tweeted saying, you ride down a hill at 60 miles per hour, shoulder to shoulder, but you're too scared to get the vaccine. And the idea that you can break down a complex argument like and speculate as to this rider's mindset as to why he mightn't have wanted to get a vaccine, and we can reduce this argument to you're scared or you're not scared, and 280 character tweet is just nonsense. And it's so symptomatic of a broken media we have at the moment, and social media is the worst for that. And platforms like Twitter, although they're brilliant in parts for their brevity, that idea that we can tackle complex topics in 280 characters is just nonsense. And, you know, going on a little bit of a rant, because this is a podcast about do you need a winter bike, but it was just something that was kind of on my chest. And since it's the podcast forum, and I can talk as long as I want, and since it's my podcast and there's no editor saying, come on, wrap it up, I could just go rambling every now and then. Okay, do we need a winter bike? That's what I want to talk about today. So it just depends, is the answer. And I'm in Girona this week, and the roads are bone dry in Girona. When the roads aren't bone dry in Girona, I don't ride, because the roads are bone dry 95 to 99% of the time. So if I wake up and it's raining, I go, it's a rest day. So if you're in Girona or a similar climate and it's mainly sunny, I would say no, you don't need a winter bike. There's no real reason to get a winter bike if the roads are always dry, if it's always sunny, because they're my main reasons for having a winter bike. So I would say no if you live somewhere sunny. Now, I don't live somewhere sunny all the time. I live in Ireland and the UK. Sorry, I live in Ireland, but the weather in the UK is very similar. So the second consideration I then move on to is, well, who do you ride with and what sort of terrain do you ride in? Because if cycling is, we're not, most of us listening to this aren't professional riders. So you're riding with a social group. So depending on the strength of your social group and your relative strength within that group, if you move to a heavy, like for instance, my winter bike is my Canyon gravel bike with 32 tires on it that are knobblies, fitting mudguards at the moment. It's got bags on it and it's heavy. But my relative strength within my training group is quite strong. I'm one of the stronger riders. So it doesn't really set me back very much. Conversely, if you're one of the weaker riders within your training group and you don't want to ditch your training group and your training pals, it makes no sense for you to load yourself on a super heavy winter bike and now all of a sudden be isolated and not have a group to train with anymore. Because every time there's a riser, you're working too hard, you're outside of your training zones, and it's just not compatible with your training goals and this training group anymore. You've essentially handicapped yourself. So that's the second consideration I'd always go to. So firstly, you know, do you need one based on the climate? Secondly, what's your relative strength within the group? And then if the answer to that is, okay, I need one based on climate and my training group goals align with me having a bike and slowing down a bit, I think it's a great idea because it's a hard thing to keep your winter, your race bike clean all year round. There's more grit on the roads, there's more dirt on the roads. So that means almost constant, I'd say once a month, changing cables, pads, chain. That can be expensive. Cleaning your bike more frequently. In the summer, if I clean my bike once a week, I'm doing well. Power hose it on the way home and it basically looks clean all year round. But in the winter, you almost need to be cleaning your bike after every spin. So this is an additional factor. Also, depending on the group you ride with, if you're riding in a group of more than four people and you're not using mudguards, you know, maybe this is frowned upon by your training partners that they're going to be all day eating your dirt and muck. And then even within this, we can subdivide mudguards into two types, because I like to call them the selfish mudguards that just keep you dry and squirt like shit at everyone else all day. It like funnels the slurry, you know these ones? And so there's the one that just saves your own ass, which is the most selfish because everyone still gets soaked. But then there's another one that makes a neat little funnel of the slurry on the ground and funnels that into the rider behind his mouth. And then we have the actual proper mudguards, which are full length all the way down with a flap, which protect you and protect your training partners. They're the job. They're perfect. Other stuff you should have fitted onto this winter bike are heavier tires, because we've more chance of puncturing in the winter with the dirt and muck and everything on the ground. But it's also a lot harder to change a puncture in the winter. When it gets cold out, the rubber shrinks. It's harder to get off, especially if your tires are tubeless ready. Your hands are going to be cold. You're wearing a lot of layers. It's just a miserable experience, as opposed to the summer when it can be quite chill and the rubber's easily expanding because it's a bit hotter. It's a pretty miserable experience having to change the puncture in the winter. So that's another, you know, consideration, is having those heavier tires. But I've all most of the time prioritize grip over harder wearing tires, because harder wearing tires like gator skins, which, you know, a lot of bike shops, especially inexperienced bike shop mechanics or something, will push because they're marketed as a winter tire, they're actually very slippy. And I'd prefer the inconvenience of changing a puncture, I'll bet it's a bit miserable in the winter, than the inconvenience of picking myself up after sliding out on a corner, because the roads are constantly wet and a hard rubber surface just does not grip roads very well. So in that case, what I would do is, you know, go for a tire which is a little bit wider, has a little bit more grip, but maybe isn't as hard wearing. Also, in the winter, it's colder, and, you know, we normally bring, because it's colder, we have more layers. Like, I bring change of gloves, I bring a spare coat, I'll have more tools. So for that reason, I have storage on my gravel bike. But that's fine, because for me, the goal of the winter, it isn't speed, it's training adaptation. And I can quite easily sit in my desired training zone with my training group without this bike holding me back or setting me back too much. But if you can't, like I said, if you're on the limit and this is kicking you from zone 3 up to now, zone 2 up to the middle of zone 3, and you're riding around every ride in zone 3, maybe a winter bike isn't suitable for you. So at the outset, I said, do you need a winter bike? The answer is, it just depends. You need to weigh up those considerations and think, can I use a winter bike? And maybe the best choice for you is a set of clip-on mudguards onto your race bike and a slightly more durable set of wheels. For a lot of people, that's quite a good answer, and you just need to be on top of bike maintenance and cleaning your bike. But for those who are maybe a bit more experienced or who have a training group who is of similar ability to them, the winter bike is a no-brainer in Ireland or the UK. But if you're in Spain, look, you just don't need it, folks. Roadman, that's my rant for today. I'll chat to you again soon. Hey Roadman, it's Anthony again. Just before you head off, real quick, I just want to mention the Roadman Blueprint. It's the ultimate coaching package. It's 4 months long. It's 4 months of one-on-one coaching sessions with your own professional Roadman cycling coach. It's 4 months of strength and conditioning plans, so you never need to worry about, is this strength and conditioning plan aligned with my cycling goals? It's 4 months of nutrition plans to fuel all that. It's 4 months of biohacks, which you know I love so much, and I'm getting to pick the brain of all these experts. And it's 4 months of motivation to make sure you never miss a session, and every single session you hit it with commitment and with purpose. The whole package, it's €997. I have a limited number of places on the Roadman Blueprint. If you're interested in getting started, pop me an email on admin@roadmancycling.com. This is the ultimate coaching package for those looking to take their cycling and their performance to the next level.